Hey guys, what's going on?
Tommy.
Hey. Oh my goodness, we're back in person. We're here in our second annual Blast weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kicking things off at the Blotto Bungalow Bill.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. We're coming back here, but I am starting to feel like we're just treading on some old ground, fellas.
Why do you think that?
Well, I know we did this once before, and maybe we just need a change of pace. So I asked management to do a little legwork for me, and we're gonna pack everything up right now. We're gonna get out of here.
We just got here.
Yeah, well,
we talked to management, huh?
Where are we going? Yeah. Well, here's what's happened personally. I've rented the QE2 for us all.
Lovely.
I'm bringing in a bunch of patients from children's hospitals. Nothing too depressing, just like kids with broken legs and stuff.
Okay, fair enough.
And we're gonna go out torchlit by 2,000 Arabs, and we are going full Lindsay Hogg on this weekend, guys. Get your stuff. Let's go. Good evening, my Blotto Scrubs. Maggie, may I bend your ear for an hour or so as we tackle this 38-second banger? Welcome back to Blotto Beatles, celebrated the world over as the leading zone zealots of Beatles broadcasting. You are in episode 63. I'm Becker, and as a reminder, we are the podcast where a couple of friends have a couple of drinks and come together to discuss and rank a single Beatles song. Well, we are back at it. It's the, Tommy told you in our front, it's the second annual Blast weekend where we have bugged out to the Blotto Beatles Bungalow
Bill?
For two nights of Blottical, where we're all together now. And where we stand today, we are attempting to record three episodes over 2 days.
Wow.
Do you think we're going to do it?
Stunning.
we're getting there.
It's our Everest.
So let's say it. I'm in the room, and I'm proud to say that... going around the room as best as I can. I'm going to do, I forget how the clock moves, but I think I'm going clockwise. I'm going to start off with, you know, if he's into honky tonk women, you know, I'm always, you can't what you get. I can't always get what you want. He's the A side to my A side.
Oh my goodness.
It's Tommy.
Oh, what is up, my guy?
Hi, bud.
So good to be back at the Bungalow. Yeah. Thank you for hosting this weekend.
I love to see everyone out here on this, you know. Here together in this space, this tiny space. Everyone in this room calls him Bob Gnarly, but you know him as the George Martin of New England. That's exactly Brewster Scotty. See, what's up, bud?
Gnarly, bro.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I meant that in a nice way, too. It's like, oh, you know, ripping fresh pow.
Maybe you are the Michelangelo of the Ninja Turtles for us. I wasn't even thinking. We were talking about who...
I rocked the pizzas here.
Yeah, you did make us some pizzas. Like, you are, you know, you just grip it and rip it. It makes a lot of sense to me.
The Michelangelo of our friend group. I like it. This guy, he's been getting a lot of buzz, and I'm a little bit worried about it. You know,
buzz?
He's been fielding a lot of offers from some competitive pods, but I tell him to buzz off because he's our wizard. It's musical supervisor, RB. That B always stands for Beatles. What? But tonight it also stands for Bungalow, where we're all hanging out.
Yeah.
Here
we are.
RB, would you set the scene for the people at home and just sort of tell them what this space is all about? What do you see around you?
We are in a very small room.
Cozy. People call it cozy. My realtor would call it cozy.
It's cozy. It is cozy. There is a lot of red flannel around. decorated. We're in a tight space. We got a lot of cables around us.
Yep.
And a lot of beer.
Yeah, we've got a lot of work.
You're also sitting on a wood stove.
I'm propped up on a wood stove.
How's your bottom? Is it all right?
Yeah.
Is it toasty?
Slightly singed.
Yeah.
That's the you know, the funny thing too about coming together and doing this show is that we have so much eye contact, which we never have. Like, I'm trying to make eyeballs with everyone in this room. And
I stare at you on the Zoom. What are you talking about?
No. I don't look at anyone. I minimize that shit. And
I just have myself up.
Deliver it like
monitor.
A monitor.
Yeah.
That says a lot. But I don't want to gloss over because we have the core team here, but also we have the fucking all-stars with us tonight. Please welcome our Ed McMahon. Both close personal friends, past guests, Blotto legends. First off, we have Chris, who listeners, we barely need to reintroduce him to, star of the Day Tripper episode.
Chris, do you remember that you did an episode with us? Do you recall?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Star of the Day Tripper episode and has helped us out with our friend Tuck and has joined us in the last boss weekend. So thank you so much for
Chris. Welcome, Chris.
Yes. Thank
you. Star guest.
Keep it going.
And then tonight we have a great friend Colin who's joined us again.
Welcome
who was
back.
Star of the She's Leaving Home episode.
Peace and love.
What number was that in the
25?
Oh, all right. Yeah. That was great. He brought She's Leaving Home and we had a great time doing that one.
Yes.
That's now a song that I think is the worst song on the Sgt. Pepper's record, but I was really pumped when we talked about it together, so I'm so glad to have everybody back. How's everybody feeling?
As I pointed out, you haven't gotten to Hello, Goodbye, or...
Yeah. Scotty's not giving us a
lovely
ton of...
Lovely Rita.
Scotty's peppering in the Sgt. Pepper's album.
Well, you know... He's Sgt. Peppering them in.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, there's also, like, the... Two of the songs are probably be done together, the Ripper Prize or whatever.
Sgt. Pepper.
And you can't make two.
Yeah, like cut the whole.
I like to roll my R's now. By the way, Ripper.
We've also done
that song. Certainly doesn't deserve a whole episode the way
fixing
that
a hole we did.
Maggie May deserves.
Well, we're gonna give that our full
benefit of Mr. Kite. We did
Mr. Kite. Yeah, we've done a few.
But that's it. But you're flirting around everything else. You're like, you know,
teasing it.
Maybe there'll be one soon.
Oh. Through the magic of podcasts, could our listeners at home guess what might be episode 64?
Revolution number
9. So, anyways, a few orders of business before we really get down to the work. What was the last episode we released? Because we're a little bit behind in the world of everything, but... We had a great episode with Bob Pernice.
Bob Pernice, that's our last one. Yeah. That's the last one out in the ether. Yeah,
Walrus.
And so that became the new number one.
How you feeling?
I got a lot of notes. We got a lot of notes that I had rolled over on that episode because I had made so many grandiose statements that I would quit the pod if Happiness was not the first song. And I want to say, like, I don't regret it for a second, you know.
Well,
I'm happy to see things have changed. And in my life, there was a point that I would have said that this song was the best Beatles song, and so I'm generally okay with it today. You know, I've been having a lot of existentialist sort of issues.
Just like walking by a pond, looking at your own face
and
in
I'm
the
like,
water.
I am the
Who
Walrus.
Am I?
You know, happy. Yeah. I'm looking at my gun at home, and I'm like, happiness is a warm gun. Yeah, you know, it's just like a very challenging feeling. So,
I'm glad you got through it. And here's what I'll say, like Becker, when we were first hanging out we were hanging out as teenagers, but I think when we first were on the reg, that's what people say, right? They say on the reg?
I don't know.
On the reg when we were hanging, and I remember talking about the Beatles with you, and that was kind of the kindling of this whole thing. You told me that when you were a teenager, you memorized the lyrics to I'm the Walrus. Yeah. I meant to bring that up because... I was like, whoa, this dude did that? Because at that point, like when we were growing up, we didn't have the internet. You couldn't just go to the Genius Lyrics to not only find what the lyrics were, but what people thought they were about.
You know, jot it down while you're listening.
Yeah. And you had to try and figure it out. And I was always like, oh, wow, that's a cool thing. So while I've been pushing on Happiness a little bit. I love that tune. I've a couple times come up and said, let's put something else up, maybe just to be the guy that says we need to not, you need to bury your heroes sometimes a little bit, right?
Yeah, that's...
But that came to mind as we were ranking this number one, that memory. So I hope you feel okay.
I'm okay with it. And it's also like, I will say that like in the face of guests, I feel a little less brash where I'm like, all right, this guest brought this song on. Like I'm not gonna make a huge fuss about
it.
And the best part is we have Blada Vita is coming up pretty shortly. we're really approaching our third anniversary. So
overthrow the government.
We have a chance to chat about it. But the episode before I'm the Walrus was...
Hold Me Tight.
Hold Me Tight. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of interesting feedback. Not all positive. Some negative. We had some people tell us that they thought that was a little rambling episode. But
thank goodness we've corrected that with this one.
We're getting right to it. But I will say that for that episode, we have like, I would say a half dozen to a handful of RB praise
stands,
messages.
Right.
Like,
RB stands.
RB stand messages where it's like, what is going on?
There might
on?
Be a subreddit right yeah. now.
Where everyone was like, yeah, thank you for putting this episode out. What RB did and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just...
Blah, blah, blah.
It got...
yada, yada, yada.
You got it over the best part.
Where's the Becker?
I mentioned the bisque.
Yeah, I don't have the exact transcript here, but the text, the tweets, people were loving your work in that episode.
I'm glad, because I mean, felt like I was rambling all over the place.
Yeah. I didn't like it at all, you know, but...
here's the thing, what RB has done a few times, and I think that episode really encapsulated the magic of RB being able to say, this is an early Beatles tune. And then this is how it informs the rest of the Beatles. Mm-hmm. And this is how the rest of the Beatles informs pop music moving forward. And that's kind of the thing that's unreal. Like, you're looking at a song that we don't think means much. And it ends up being
guys
this
are tossing
thing.
It off as a throwaway. And I'm like, there's something there.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like we're talking about Boys.
Or even the song we're going to talk later this weekend. So anyways, we have three songs to do over... two nights.
Well, we should get to it.
We are playing with the timeline in a wild way because should we let the people know at home that we've already recorded
this episode?
This episode. So we're gonna tell you that we already know where we land on this tune.
Yeah. But... So here's what's about to happen is we went to the Cena Farms brewery down the road.
On Blado de Mayo.
Yeah, on Blado de Mayo just earlier this afternoon, and we sat with Jared, the owner of the brewery. He opened his doors just for us before the brewery.
I mean, we opened them. But we opened them. He was there when we got there.
He opened his heart.
And then we opened his heart. And what happened is we recorded a couple hours at the Cena Farms Brewery to the point that customers started coming in.
We thought we were going to sneak in early.
And... yeah, it got to the end, but we had a flipping... I'm gonna say flipping.
Watch it, salty.
We had a flipping good time out with Jared at the Cena Farms Brewery.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else to talk about before we get there?
I mean, we should talk about what we're drinking.
Oh yeah, what are you drinking right now?
So
it is Blada de Mayo.
Yeah, I feel like we have just thrown this weekend. Coincidentally, was it also Cinco de Mayo last time? I don't know.
No, we went earlier.
I mixed up the Macaritas, which is the Paul Lennon recipe.
Paul Lennon?
Yeah, my favorite Beatle. Which is the Paul Lennon margarita recipe, and I mix that up. It's clementines. It's a lot of
tequila.
Tequila forward.
Yeah, and Cointreau and triple sec, and he squeezes clementines.
Very
and
citrusy.
Limes in it. And
yeah, it's delicious. Good.
Supposedly, this was like his private jets. This is how you mix a margarita, and then his daughter put it out eventually, saying dad's margaritas. But I think it's pretty great. I like a little bit of clementine.
Yeah.
It is tasty, tasty.
And quite strong.
Yeah.
These are strong. He doesn't recommend you even drink two of them, but I think we're drinking... I think I poured us about two each, so...
Oh, I'm almost done.
What a friend.
Yeah. The bottom.
So we're drinking those. Of course, on hand, we have the Devil's Purse and Kolsch, the official beer.
Always.
Blada Beatles, that white can. That's sitting out in some coolers out on the deck right now. And as we move into our next section, we're drinking some delicious, you know, just as delicious as the Devil's Purse. We're drinking some Cena Farm beers.
Yeah, that was coming. Yeah, that was really nice. That was like
Gentle Meadow, the pale ale.
We had it like directly from the teat. Like that was
no, it was right from the cow.
It's called a tap.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So that's what we are drinking, and what you will hear us drinking this evening. And we're going to turn it over in a minute to talking about a specific Beatles song, but the Beatles, I mean, we have a couple guests with us this evening. I mean, Becker, do you think they even know who the Beatles are?
I don't know. We have these clowns on the couch tonight with us, and I'm not. They've been stars of these episodes. I'm not even sure they know who the Beatles are. But Do you know how you feel?
I'm positive. I know who the Beatles are.
Yeah. So you know,
English. I could use a refresher.
Yo, you could.
Yeah.
Thank you. English rock band. Yes.
Yep.
Mm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Formed in 1985 Oxfordshire is the most Beatles birthplace in the road. You know, Tom Lennon was basically birthed in the middle of Penny Lane. This band did an amazing job of sort of bridging guitar and arena rock into something otherworldly. The Rolling Stones magazine has placed their 4 or 5 of their records in the top 500 albums ever. You know the Beatles, right? You want to hear a little bit of your favorite albums?
That will help. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have questions.
Do you know Kid A Taste of Honey? Do you know Amnesiac Naturally? Yeah. Oh, Darling Computer?
No, it's
The Bend.
That one took me a second.
A Taste of Pablo Honey. Do you know this one? Yeah. You don't know. All right. If you don't know the records, I got you. Maybe you're just into the songs. Maybe you like Creep Your Hands Off My Baby. Paranoid Android Bird Can Sing.
No. That's
wrong. How to Disendear Prudence. Reckon Her Majesty. There, There, and Everywhere. Everything in its paperback right place. Do you guys know that? Carmarthen Police.
It's, nope.
You don't like it? High and Why Don't We Do It in the Road?
So
I'm running low.
Yeah. You're not talking. You're not. You are talking about a British band. You're talking about a British band.
The Beatles.
No, they were in my teenage years.
Go Beatles.
Definitely as important to me as the Beatles. I think you're talking about Radiohead, man. You're
not. I don't. Think
and
so.
I think here's the other thing I know about you. Besides your love of Radiohead, your love of the Beatles, is you've also recently gotten some new medicinal prescriptions in your life.
Wait, hold on.
So it's what I'm thinking is maybe we do this Radiohead podcast. It's like a 2-for-2 thing. Like you're high and I'm not so dry. I'm drinking. Oh. You're using your medicinal.
Oh man.
And that's our Radiohead podcast.
I like that. I would love to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm well on board with it. All right. I guess I am talking about Radiohead, and I had thought for a while as we come up in this episode that I had clearly already done this as sort of
definitely not, yeah.
And I hadn't, and that's, I was pretty shocked.
Wait, bit?
That.
Bit? What? Yeah. What? What's going on, man?
We had talked at some point that we had all gone and seen The Smile, which I thought was like a pretty amazing thing. We got to see Tom York in a small club of 1,000 or 2,000 people, but, yeah, for me, I don't mind saying that. Probably Radiohead is one of the most interesting bands of rock-wise and popular-wise in my lifetime, you know?
I have my answer for myself. If someone was to ask you, what is your favorite Radiohead record, what would you say? Which guy are you right now?
Put
it on wax.
I would say Kid A is my favorite record.
I was going to say the same
thing. Yeah.
Because I want to say Amnesiac, but I think that's like a little too precious or something.
Yeah.
And then I also obviously love OK Computer, but there's something about OK Computer where when it first came out, it just blew the doors off everything. Like, it felt so different. It sounded like the craziest thing I'd ever heard. And now I listen back to it, and I'm like, it kind of just sounds like the 90s in a weird way. Yeah. Like,
I'm a big In Rainbows guy.
Yeah, you are.
Love that record. I think that is...
Colin is raising his hand.
Yeah.
He is giving a thumbs up. Yes. Let the record show that Colin is giving a thumbs up.
Yeah, I think that record's pretty great. It just, I also fell into smoking weed heavily right around Kid A, and that and an Amnesiac hit me in like a wild, wild way at the time. Like, I was a little bit of a late bloomer for some of that stuff.
I want to say Kid A came out in June because I remember listening to it for an entire summer. I was living in Boston. I was driving around Boston in an old Ford Explorer, and it was a super rainy summer. Every day was just like, either drizzle to some level of downpour, and I'd be driving around this thing, listening to Kid A the entire time. It was just the perfect fit for that.
Amazing soundtrack for like, so for many different
driving bars. In an urban setting while it's raining. That is Kid A, right?
I love the Radiohead, and I don't even have a direct connection to the Beatles. I was reading a little bit here that people think Paranoid Android is a little bit synchronous with Happiness is Warm Gun.
I heard that OK Computer was kind of a love letter to their influences. Like they're like, let's write a this person song, this person song. And that Karma Police is Sexy Sadie.
Yeah. I saw that too. That
which I, when you hear them side the by progression side, is really almost hear identical. That. Yeah.
To the point where I think there might be a writing credit that got post applied. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Wow. Phil Selway does some drumming with Ringo. He does a little appearance with the All Star Band.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he's, you know, they're in the mix. I have no picture again of. I always look for like. I want a picture of Tom York with his arm around McCartney or something. And now AI will allow us to do that. But I could not find one really of that happening.
That's crazy that you. They were the biggest band in England, right? Yeah. Like that you would think that a McCartney would find his way to, you know, be in the room with them or something.
Well, did we talk? We a bunch of us in this room saw Tom York with the smile. And I just. He was wearing such. Weird pants.
They were very linen-y. They were very wide and the, flowy.
His choice of pants made him feel unapproachable. Where, like, if Tom York was wearing jeans, I would have said, like, oh, if I bumped into Tom York wearing those jeans, I would say, hey, man, what's going on? I'm a fan of your band.
Your stuff.
But the fact that he was wearing these billowy linen pants that I couldn't even guess what they cost. Do you think they cost £1,200?
Oh, well, I don't know the conversion rate right now. So it's actually if we went American dollars.
Yeah. What do you think Tom York's pants cost?
Yeah, those are $1,700 pants.
I think really? So.
Priceless
yeah.
pants.
Yeah, no. I think so. Oh, you don't think so?
I don't remember the pants that well. I wasn't.
Yeah.
So he's not getting the value.
I was thinking $350.
$350.
That's a lot for a pair of pants.
I mean, that's what
I'm going to go $1. Scotty, see that?
That's
what $1.
That's my boxer's budget.
Oh. For a decade.
It's nice linen boxers.
Real flowy.
Anyways, Colin, Chris, thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Do you guys like Radiohead?
Yes.
Yeah.
Go on.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good talk.
What do you think about Tom York's pants? What do you think the value of... What's an approach... hold on.
I think you need a top knot to wear them.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
So, box checked.
If you were... I don't know, I hadn't thought... this question is for both of you. If you were a millionaire, and Tom York is probably a tens of millionaire, Tom York probably is worth... $18 million. I don't know. That's what I'm going to put out there. How much would you think?
I love that.
What's the It's fairly specific. Yeah. I feel like it's
carry
right.
The one.
Quick math here. What would you think, and Chris, I'm very curious, what do you think is an appropriate amount to spend on pants if you're an $18 millionaire?
I think you just ask somebody to get
to you buy pants. You pants.
And you don't.
You don't even ask. You don't even see it.
No, like, I want pants. And you don't... like.
Yeah,
they,
but...
they cost what they cost. But you don't, you're not looking at, like, the last four digits of your account.
If I was worth $18 million...
Yeah.
And I'm close.
Yeah. No one's met Colin in person, but he is pretty impressive. Yeah.
I tell someone to go get me pants, and they tell me that they got me a pair of pants that's worth more than $100. Yeah. I fire that person. Or, like, what do you mean you spent $1,200 on a pair of pants?
This is how Colin stays a millionaire. I'm going to tell
that's
you.
Right.
This is the, you know.
I'm not Kanye.
Work smarter, regular, not harder.
Yeah, it's Colin. Clearance rack.
And my Pappy McDuck.
We're now like one of those like grind podcasts where it's like, oh, you want to get into like drop shipping and Amazon making money? Like, this is how you do it. You don't waste your money on pants, bro. You wake up every morning and you get to work.
Yeah.
Right?
You grind.
Yeah.
No pants.
Rise and grind. That's what I was trying to say. Rise and grind. Yeah. That pops up on my fucking Instagram all the time.
I would think if you're Tom York, you might be getting pants shipped to you unsolicited.
You think he's not even paying for pants?
I bet there are.
All right, hold on.
Abstract pants.
So
he's just like, as a podcast, wearing these pants I got in the mail.
We have asked for a liquor sponsorship, which we don't have yet. We've asked for
snacks.
That has been great. A bunch of great listeners.
Yeah, you brought all those pies this weekend, right?
No, I ate those.
Wait, what?
Chris sent me a couple of pies, and he only said two pies. You know, like where are they gonna go?
He sent more than two.
I'm sure. It's only two.
I can hear you.
I will say, send us pants. I will wear any pants that someone sends.
Send
I think
us pants.
We are all fit. We're all what? Like a,
we'll publish our pant size on the website.
A 28, 28 waist. Is that everyone?
Yeah, sure.
So that's our Radiohead pants bit.
So yeah, and that's who the Beatles are.
I'll preface this only a little bit to say that we had the luxury of rolling in and recording at a local brewery that's doing some very cool stuff. And we're going to just play that entire thing right now. And it was great. And we were down the road to see the brewery and just had a fantastic time with them. And we were drinking their beers. And we brought a bottle of Irish whiskey, a Green Spot Irish whiskey that Chris had turned me on to a couple of months ago. We were hanging out at a little nook of an Irish bar. And he bought us a round of those drinks. And I don't know, man. Like, I think that's the way to be drinking whiskey. You don't even call it brown liquor, because, like, Irish whiskey is, like, this piss-yellowy thing. Like, it's not even brown liquor, you know?
Piss-yellowy thing.
Yeah.
That's a terrible way to describe something so good. I would have called it
actually, I feel pretty
syrupy.
Bad, because we have some great Irish listeners who have been sending it. But, like, it's not where I turn for whiskey.
But it's delicious.
But drinking that Green Spot recently, I'm like, oh my goodness, like, this is great. And there's sometimes where you're like choking down a little bit of brown bourbon and you're like, oh, I like this, but do I? Like, I don't know. I'm not sure that I do. I think, once again, Scotty C is like a sage. He's the Rick Rubin on this podcast. Like, he's just had the way. It's just, he knows.
This is the way.
The yogi.
This is the way.
Right. So, I think, without further ado,
let's pack up our stuff and go to that brewery.
We were already there.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
You should just teleport there right now.
I like that Becker picked up his keys, which no one can see to be fully work.
Responsibly, Becker. Responsibly. Yeah.
So, without further ado, Scotty C, I'm going to ask you, like, hit some magical sound musical work to take us to the Cena Farms interview.
So as you know, we're kicking off the Blossom Weekend with today's episode, but I'm also excited to say that we're on location. When I first bought this little cabin out here at this undisclosed location in Western Massachusetts, I really had no idea that there was anything around, and then I heard that someone had opened a brewery just down the road. We popped in here last year to have a beer and a little bit of a break from our weekend, and we met the owner, and we're coming back out again for this weekend, and we asked Jared if we could come out and chat with him and hang out in the brewery. So I'm super excited to say that I have Jared Cena of Cena Brewery here. Thank you for joining us on the pod.
Hey, so good to be here.
Welcome.
Cheers. Yeah, thank you. Tell us a little bit about where we are and what this place is all about.
Well, it's I'm the third generation Cena to be here. My grandfather...
What about the Senas? Were they here before?
Or the Senas. Yeah. Yeah, there's no relation to John Cena that I'm aware of, but...
Sorry. Third generation. I want to hear the story.
All right, so yeah, it was my grandfather's farm that he bought. We had potato farms, tons of acres of just potatoes. The barn that now holds the production area was full of potatoes. This room that we're sitting in was full of potatoes. He also ran auctions in there. My uncle ran auctions in there.
Auctioning off potatoes?
Yeah, funny looking potatoes. But my dad and my uncle also ran a cross-country ski area out of here for 25 years. And, you know, this was the bar area, about half the size of what it was. And the whole production area was a lodge, fireplace, and all that. And that closed down in, like, 2000 and, I want to say, 4. And started filling up with junk. And I'd been brewing for a while. And my dad was like, hey, there's this whole brew house for sale. It's cheap. Should we do this? I'm like, yeah. So here I am, still trying to figure out how to run a business.
It's awesome. Delicious beer, man. Thank you so much. Oh, we're having well done, what is the one most of us are having right now?
That's the signature. Gentle Meadow. Gentle Meadow. It's a 100% mosaic dry hop, very aggressively dry hopped.
Delicious.
Yeah, it's a great tasty beer. Yeah.
I don't want to be... I don't know how... The best way to say about this brewery, I think, a little bit... Like, it has an amazing vibe in here. This is a place that I would want to hang out with, it, period. I know that's not coming across in our audio podcast, but this is almost like... Is this, like, the Field of Dreams of brewery that you put it out here and sort of were like, I'm going to start making great beer in the middle of...
If I brew it, they will come.
We're in Worthington, Massachusetts. This is Worthington, right?
It is, yeah.
Was that...
Honestly, everything in here was mostly... Stuff left over from the auctions, all my living situations where I just figured I put all my books in here, everything that's familiar to me, and that's kind of what's scattered about the walls, and keeps it very humble feel.
Gives
it a humble feel.
It's homey for sure. It's just, I think, exactly where you want to come and have a beer. Like, the vibe is good. Totally. Yeah.
But what about opening this brewery and making the beers you're making? Like, did you feel there was an immediate community here for what you wanted to brew? Or did you hope that you were going to draw them in?
I was hoping to draw them in, but it's funny. It's mostly local people that are coming in here. Mm-hmm. Every now and then you'll get some people from Northampton. There's quite a bit of people that come from the Berkshires. But... For my main base of people that are hanging out here are just locals from a couple towns away or just this town. It's quite nice.
Yeah.
All familiar faces.
I mean, that's pretty amazing to have something.
Drink local.
Yeah. And that's what's happening with beer, I think, period, right? Like, you do want to drink beer that is closest to you, I think.
Yeah, and everybody's, like, kind of getting out. The people up here... Oh, I don't know if I should say this, but...
our listenership in Western Mass...
Give us the Worthington goss right now. We need it.
I don't want to be the gossip queen. No, yeah. Basically, you know, in the hill towns, people are just drinking Bud Light and stuff. And to incorporate...
You said it first. That's what I was talking about. It's like, is the audience here for your beers? Because
it is, and I think people are a lot more aware of different styles that are out there. Like, having just a Saison on draft is... awesome for me. And then I'm actually brewing some more like lagers and getting more into that. These sour beers, like not kettle sours, but just actually like soured by bacteria. And I'm really pushing on that more and more and want to buy some more barrels to sour it in. And that was the route I really wanted to go down when I started this place. And now I'm just making. I can't keep IPAs on draft long enough, and I don't even drink IPAs.
I feel like that trend is turning a little bit.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Especially, I mean, it's a farmhouse brewery. We grow raspberries, blueberries out back, propagate the wild yeast off of those things, and, you know, play around with small batches just to see what the wild yeast is going to do to that wort as it ferments. And 75% of the time, it's terrible.
I'm going to put you on the spot only a little bit, but not about music. But if you're not going to be drinking your own beer, what do you think is great in beers right now?
Honestly, I drink a lot more cider these days. Wildly fermented cider, you know, ferments for like a year.
Yeah.
It's just got like that wild Brettanomyces yeast in it, just that super funk.
I can never say that, right?
Wet that's horse blanket.
It's funk. Horse funk. It's not that hard, man. I don't know what your issue is.
That's a good description.
Brettanomyces. I know the word.
Brettanomyces.
Yeah.
You say it well.
Thank you. Thank you. Producer Scotty C right now. So ciders. You wouldn't...
I wouldn't dive into doing ciders just because I find it to be more of a hobby. I got my own press. We got our own Roxbury russets growing here, and then just going out and foraging wildly grown apples. And I feel like once you push that into a business, it becomes... It could possibly become more of a job. Yeah. And I don't want to do that. And my neighbors have a cidery right across the road, and they make awesome stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I haven't been over there yet.
They're not quite open to the public yet, but...
They're not. I saw that they were making ciders and stuff, but this will get pulled
soon out. Enough.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Awesome. So, when we were hanging out here last time, it was apparent that while you're into beers, you're also into music.
Mm. Yep. Been playing music with my friends for years and years, never really focusing a lot on that, but I grew up playing saxophone, and then I picked up the mandolin, and then the mandolin's very similar to the fiddle, and all my friends played upright bass, banjo, mandolin, guitar, so I was like, shit, I gotta play the fiddle.
Yeah.
And it seems to work out decent enough.
So everyone should be happy to hear that we bullied Jared into playing his fiddle for the karaoke track at the end of tonight. So
we're going to do it live here right at the brewery.
About that.
It's going to be great.
Tell us about your early music memories. So, you know, like what's the first time you remember hearing the Beatles? This is a Beatles podcast.
Where what?
We exclusively talk about the music of the Beatles.
That would be my parents' record collection. And I think it was actually Let It Be was the first album that I listened to.
Interesting. Yeah.
What
I was saying, interesting is my thing.
Oh, you say interesting?
I say it. You don't say it.
How old are you? Let's put you in. I want to gauge you as the Beatles sort of. Everyone says like there's multiple generations of Beatles fans. I feel like you're maybe a little younger than us, but
yeah, this was probably like I was 4 or 5. I remember being in kindergarten and knowing Octopus's Garden.
Yeah,
they play that it in like recess.
Yeah, it's that or Yellow Submarine when you're a kid. Yeah,
yeah, and that's probably the earliest memory.
How old are you now?
I'm 38.
Okay, yeah.
What's the first music then after that you gravitate towards as a young person and start making your own musical decisions? The first record you buy or something like that?
A friend of mine started showing me like punk ska music, and that's when I was like, I can use my saxophone and start playing music with other types of bands.
Yeah. Yep.
But then I gravitated toward more reggae and was doing that for a couple of years.
Oh, nice.
What were your entry points into the punk ska world? Like,
bands?
Yeah.
It would be Real Operation Ivy, Less Than Jake, Op Ivy, or Real Big Fish was one of them.
Op Ivy is, I heard Op Ivy with my buddy Chris, and we came up together, and I heard Op Ivy a little late, but I listen to it still all the time. Like,
yeah,
it's
good. One of my favorite all time records, I think.
What about older music then? Like, when do you find any affinity for something that feels Beatles-y, or, you know, do you go back? Or
That would probably be picking up the fiddle, and that was probably, I think, 2012. Kind of getting out of that angsty young phase, like 25 years old or something, and starting to listen to older music, picking up old fiddle tunes, and absolutely just like we covered some song from Abbey Road. I don't even remember what it was, but I think we did. Maybe not. Maybe the whiskey's kicking in.
There's something very funny that you were like coming up, like my friends played upright bass and mandolin and all this stuff. Like, is it the fact that you're a little bit out here in the countryside, like that is influencing these music? Because garage band wise, us growing up, like it was electric guitar, bass, and drums. Like, no one was like upright bass. I didn't know what a mandolin looked like until forever. I fucking knew that REM had mandolins, but I didn't know what it was. like, there's just something like. Again, for the listener, like, we're out here in the countryside. It's amazing. It's beautiful. Your space here is incredible.
I think,
like,
is the word bucolic? Would we call this bucolic?
I
don't know what it means.
Alcoholic.
That one I know.
Yeah.
But, like, where does that come from? Like,
That would be, my dad
all right.
has always played mandolin.
All right.
Okay. Mandolin. He's
You just have instruments kicking around the house.
Yeah, yeah. A collection of them all.
Is he around? Would he like to play Maggie May?
I think he's... I don't know what... He's out in Pittsfield shopping with my mom. Yeah, he definitely would, though. Like every open jam that we have here, he's playing mandolin.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sweet. And as far as friends go, everybody started off electric, playing, you know, Silver Chair or whatever, just like getting into this.
Frat boy. Yeah. I remember. Yeah.
Wait, what's
up?
What's
up? Frat boy. Wait for tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Frat boy.
Oh. Frog Stomp.
Frog Stomp. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I still not there. Like, I keep going to go into I'm right. Going hungry.
Yeah, no. Yeah. That's the Temple of the Dog.
I know, but yeah. I can't find the Frog Stomp.
Yeah. It goes in this. Frat boy.
Frat boy.
Wait till tomorrow. There we go. There we go.
Perfect. Well, it's
part harmony there.
I love, and the coolest part about doing this podcast and talking to people that are passionate about things, like, I love sort of being in someone's space. We've done a couple of brewery recordings, but someone's space that, like, clearly is their passion point. Like, and it's pretty amazing that you're out here doing this, you know, like, I think having something local is just interesting and important. I mean, I don't know if that's part of why you're here and why you're home. Like, we were talking earlier off mic that you grew up 100 yards from where we're recording this. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
and my dream was to leave here.
Yeah.
Forever.
We all grew up in small towns, too. And so that was big for us. It'd be like, I need to get out of here. We grew up on Cape Cod and but now I have so much more affinity for those things, and yeah, I don't know why. Is it just getting old and nostalgic?
It's definitely a maturity thing, and I feel like, you know, your parents getting older, taking on responsibilities, and, like, to pass things down is...
It's important.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You didn't know that when you were young.
No, absolutely not. And I had to work all the time, baling hay and...
Yeah, get the hell away from that as soon as possible.
That's why I chose an indoor occupation.
No. Yeah, for us, it was just grabbing lobsters. It was hard. Like, all the time.
I would trade. Like,
my father would say, don't come home until you have 72 lobsters every Sunday. I don't want to see you.
What about oysters?
Shuck and thumb. We all got it.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like you hate where you came from, and then you're like, oh, I want to get back to that. I don't know why, you know. So I want to get to this track, but there's also a couple, there's something that I forgot to hit. You are killing it in can art for your beers. What's that all about? Are you doing that, or is that?
I try to reach out to artists as much as possible to find artwork that they've already created. And see if it's going to flow right on the can. I don't put a whole lot of time into it. It's easier to, like, reach out to somebody.
Yeah.
Like, hey, can I use this for a can? I'll pay you, and I'll give you a bunch of free beer. And so when I can't do that, I just come up with something real quick, and I started dabbling just, like, in some AI programs, which sucks. I don't like doing it.
We actually have a lot to talk about AI, but I don't know if it's today. But
I could go... we could. We'll save it for the disc golf course.
Yeah.
I really try to reach out to artists ahead of time. And yeah. I'm also not very good at getting back to people. I think our conversation on Instagram was the most I've gotten back to somebody because I was, like, really excited. Wow.
we must be a big deal.
But, yeah, I try to go through, I don't know, I got all the labels on the door over there that I've ever had, and
they're great.
Sometimes,
Gentle Meadow, your flagship beer, I love that. It's got a...
The chicken, that's like my friend down in East Hampton. She's like, her and her husband, they're both really good artists, but they're just school teachers now, and I would love to have their painting hanging up on the wall. Like, I've used the Ann Hinga's over here, with this girl in East Hampton, and... I love that one. I was like, I gotta buy a print of that and hang it up.
Yeah.
My next step's the Arlo Guthrie poster. If I can get that on a can label for
that's amazing. Yeah.
He played here in October of like 1975.
Get out.
What? So that was another like
Like on top of a pile of potatoes? Like how did that work?
I guess cross country skiing on top of a pile of potatoes.
You can play if you peel three bushels of potatoes.
What's a good Arlo Guthrie beer pun? I don't even know if I have it yet. But. Your beer naming also is interesting because you don't lead into any punnery or any of that. Like for the most part,
I hate hokey shit. I don't know if I can swear on this podcast.
You can swear. My bigger problem is that the pun is actually the highest form of comedy. It takes the most brain work. You know,
I'm still learning.
I don't understand where you're coming from there.
But no. I mean, I hate hokey beer. Like, I will immediately not drink a beer if it's. I don't even have it on the tip of my tongue, but there are some nonsense beer labels and some nonsense beer names. But
you know, every Blotto Beatles title is a hokey.
Well,
name,
no, I know.
Right.
I mean, but it's that's our shtick.
Oh, okay. Like, oh, it's cool. We do it. I get it.
I don't
all
put
right,
the Blotto
right.
Beatles right into my body. I'm saying things I put into my body.
You don't.
I want to be. You know what's your naming convention? How do you guys do it?
Honestly, I don't put much thought into it. I got this book.
Yeah,
I got a couple books. I'll just like scroll through. It's like nothing really means anything. Like Gentle Meadow is a picture of a chicken.
Yeah,
but wrapped around a can, it looks like this mountainside coming into a meadow. And that was like the first beer I started naming. The other one's named after like a cow that my friend had, and he had to kill it because it was killing his sheep.
I mean, that's pretty good.
That's the best story of a beer.
We dive into that. You really tossed it off like that wasn't good.
Like it's very normal.
I like things Somerville, are different than hills. So
things are different than hills.
Trias is like, this is King Julius. It doesn't mean shit. Like, you know, you're like, oh, there's a sheep that killed a cow? A cow that killed a sheep?
Yeah, Gertie. That was a cool name.
Yeah.
Throwback name. That's the best way to name things, I think.
Yeah, you should name all your beers after things that have killed another thing.
If I'm bored, I just name them after my cat.
This is a Robert Blake IPA.
Thomas number two. Like.
Anyways, we're here to talk about a Beatles song and exclusively talk about that Beatles song.
Yeah, so we have a pick this week. It's an interesting one. Second shortest Beatles song, I think, in existence. And Scotty, you picked this one. Why don't you tell us?
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about this song?
All right, we got Maggie May. Off Let It Be, and it's like a real fun sort of, now that we've seen Get Back, I think, you know, you kind of can feel that vibe more, but this was that vibe of them like just running through old tunes in between other songs to lighten stuff up, and this song Maggie May is super old, like back to the 1800s, nobody really knows who wrote it, it's gone through some changes and lyrics and what have you, and Beatles picked up on it, played it, probably learned it as kids or whatever. And it's about 40 something seconds long.
Yeah, 38, I think.
Yeah, maybe, it's very, very short. Some couple guitars and the dude singing. Whoops, sorry.
And a little tambo.
There might be some tambourine.
Yeah.
But yeah, just the dude singing and some guitars and. I don't know. Are we going to try and listen to it here?
I think we should listen to it here. Like, is that possible? Like, let's give it a listen, and we'll come back in. We usually say a couple minutes. We'll come back in 40 something seconds.
Even a pee break.
Yeah, and we'll talk about Maggie May from the Let It Be record.
Oh, dirty Maggie May, they have taken her away, and she never walked down life streets anymore. Oh, the judge.
So Maggie May, everybody, Let It Be. As Scotty said, we dive into this through Get Back. We get more out of this new Let It Be box that came out recently. And this is an interesting one to me because, as Scotty said, like you're looking at versions as early as like 1830 on this thing that becomes a standard that we get one of the very few Beatles songs in the canon that is attributed to Lennon, McCartney, Harrison, and Starkey, right? That, and because they're just taking this traditional song, it's in the public domain. Oh!
Drink up.
Drink up. Magical mystery. Drink up. Drink up.
It's the magical mystery word.
it?
Traditional.
Traditional.
Wow. Good.
Bullshit.
I like it. I like it.
I see where this is going.
So, the thing I'm interested in talking about in this one is how this plays through Beatles history a little bit. Like, and I want to get there soon, but anyone have, like, what do we think about Maggie May as a song? Where are we on this one in terms of, let's just, in Beatles songs in general, Beatles songs and Let It Be, this thing specifically, what do we think?
If I'm being really honest, I didn't think that we were going to do, like, an entire episode on Maggie May.
Yeah, right?
I'm happy with it, and I like where it sits, and it's interesting because we have Let It Be now to give it a bunch of more context, but you know, if I didn't know about this song, it wouldn't bother me either way, you know? But I think there's a ton here when you start to think about it, and why was John doing this, and,
yep.
You know, John Lennon, for me, we've talked a bunch about this later, John Lennon stuff and post-Yoko stuff, where Yoko is pushing, oh, your art has to be reflective of who you are and all of this, and then John takes this and very insistent about playing it a ton during the sessions, and this is just like a very much a childhood thing for them. So I do think it's important in some way, but I don't know why. Like, it's a very toss-offy song. It's clearly like limericky thing about like a prostitute.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'll say. This is the, you know, ancillary research I did or whatever. There's something bookending about this song.
I want to stop for a second. When Tommy said research, he was adjusting his glasses, and I'm not used to Tommy wearing glasses together. But like, don't try really and like, don't try and scholar me. You know?
There's no prescription. Like, they play this in the Quarrymen. This is a Quarrymen, like and standard that they're playing. Before, you know, pre Beatles. This is and. John Lennon actually plays this as late as 1979 or 1980. There are recordings of John playing this. And, I mean, I did send out both of those things. And for that piece of, like, beginning and ending, I think that's where the importance maybe isn't in the song, but it's in, like, the heart of John feeling a connection.
Yeah, it was definitely an important song to him.
Yeah. Can we hear this Quarrymen version for a sec? So you get that, right? This is... I really thought the magical mystery word was going to be skiffle.
I thought so, too.
Because, you know, you get these...
Jared has skiffle, triple underlined.
you get skiff, like, all these skiffle bands of the very early, like, late 1950s, very early 1960s, where John's growing up in Liverpool. They're playing it. It's becoming this standard for all these songs. John brings it back up in Get Back. But then we have this recording of him in 1979, I think, doing it again, like end of life, recording on a boombox in New York in the Dakota Building.
Find that like the most crazy thing that John's been carrying the song for so long. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. What does it mean?
It grabs him, and maybe it's the thing of a guitar player sits down and always plays a G chord to start or something.
Think you have a song, right? You just as a guitar or as a musician, you have a song that like
those chords.
It's a comfort food kind of thing. Like, there's something that you just play or love that you. Just...
You're saying this is John Lennon's frog stomp.
No, it's. I think comfort food is the way to, like, Chris, I think comfort food is a perfect tagline on this for John. And so he's making a lot of breads at this time as well, right? We know this he's about like, where John Lennon is. But this idea of going back to something you know. And I think the song doesn't necessarily get me in and of itself, but the fact that it had that effect on him is where it pulls me in.
Could it be he maybe had an experience in his life where this is just bringing up things?
You think there was an
incident
with a
possibly with a prostitute and
Hamburg days maybe,
or maybe something that happened in his life important that this song was the background music to.
Yeah,
like it brings up something,
right?
Or whatever, you know. Like,
well, and I think for him, especially later in life, he's really going back to that late 1950s thing that brought him into rock and roll. Right? Like, we look at the albums he's putting out, like, whether it's the rock and roll record of covers or his original music at the end, that he's grabbing back onto, this is what got me interested in music, this is what lit that fire for me, and this is just another example of that, I think.
Well, it's also, well, like, it's the theme of the whole Get Back project.
Yeah.
Like, they're playing the one after 909. Like,
you've really got a hold on me.
And that's what's interesting, I think, for sure, is what's happening when he decides to sort of introduce this as a tune. But for us, and we no longer have a sense, maybe, of what traditional music is.
Oh!
It's a magical mystery word.
So in the upfront, I feel like people of our generation don't have traditional music anymore. So in the upfront, we were talking.
We're in the same zone. We're in the same zone. Even though you didn't know it, we're in the same zone.
But in the upfront, we were talking about Op Ivy and things like this, and this is what I came up on and was into. But at 16 years old, Lennon is starting to play music like this, and so later in life I probably do go back to this stuff, like, right. When we do jam tunes, I want to play things that feel familiar. Like, we're just talking about Bush the other day, like, I fucking hated Bush at the time they came out, but right now, like, I want to sing Glycerine. Like, I don't know why.
Wow.
Because
the first step is admitting it. So
because my girlfriend when I was 15 years old only had FM radio in a pink Renault fucking four-door sedan, and we had to listen to what was going on. And every fucking morning, going to high school.
Four doors, must be nice.
Only three works. But, like, Glycerine played. We, like, hated it, but listened to it. And now I'm like, I feel a vibe for it. And John has something about this. But I think if we go back to the Get Back sessions and all of that, I think this is also the counterpoint to what Paul is trying to do. Like,
okay.
He's hanging out, and they have to listen to, what are they playing? They're playing Let It Be, they're playing Two of Us, they're playing Long Winding Road. Yeah. Like, that's the last day of this session and stuff, and John wants to get this on the record. But I think he's in a different headspace, you know? Paul wants this to be a big project, and we see it in the video. Like, John is with his friends and wants to have a good time, and he doesn't have the songs. Like, that's kind of the different thing. John doesn't come to these sessions feeling ready to go the way that Paul is, but
he might have been fine with like a covers album.
Yeah,
I mean, he did that later. He might have been like, let's just play. And
I think that at the very end of episode 2 of Get Back ends with John saying, like, we'll never get to Maggie May if we keep going like this. he wants to make a real version of this song, and like, this is what we end up with, like a version that they get through the first
breaks
verse
down.
And
yeah,
but like, there's more to the song that they just never got on tape.
I don't know anything else from the song. Yeah. It's all I know.
I felt moderately bad because we reached out to Jared to be like, hey, can we come in and record and can we hang out with you? And then I was like, we're doing the second to shortest Beatles song that you probably have no connection to.
Honestly, like, it was just yesterday that I was like, I gotta go down this rabbit hole. And like, the first thing was like, Maggie May, backwards. And like, that shit exists on YouTube.
Wow! Of
course. And like, I started writing down like words I might hear, and like, it all sounds very Russian.
backwards Maggie Man.
Yeah, but there is definitely something
conspiracy theory. Yeah. I like this.
There's something
I find
interesting.
Can we play backwards Maggie Man?
It's on YouTube. There is a word that sticks out, and it's whiskey nurse.
Wow.
For me, that was the only thing.
And that's how you know Paul is dead. It just completes the circle there. That's how we know.
It was the whiskey nurse that killed him.
Yeah.
Wait, Paul?
That's the conspiracy theory.
If not the wife, he won't ask my question. Whiskey nurse it is.
It might be better reversed.
If they had put that on Revolver, people would be like, see, the Beatles are genius.
Is incredible. That's kind of like the first thing. It's like, start with the weirdest.
Yeah, and then work your way back.
More to it than this. Like, I didn't realize how short it was.
I mean, if you listen to our podcast in reverse,
it says Becker is dead. Actually, I killed Becker.
Really wrong.
I killed a buffalo plaid. It says.
I'm gonna start my own podcast. It's your podcast in reverse. It'll be like
filtered through
called
AI.
Sober. The opposite of Beatles.
Yeah. What is the opposite of Beatles? Sober Steely Dan? I don't know.
Before we go too deeper, Scotty C, like, what's your thought on this track? I want to make sure you get in on this.
I mean, it is what it is. It's when you see, like I said, that footage and the way that John's trying to break up these like sometimes tense or long sessions with some fun old timey stuff.
Moderately, that's obnoxiously also, sometimes.
Yeah,
like,
that's also a good alternative word for the mystery, if you want.
Yeah, I don't need another mystery word.
I love the sound, the vibe. I love the two singing together. I love the just like playing acoustic guitars. Like you might imagine kids doing like, this is one we know, guys. Like, let's do that one because we only know three. You know, in the day.
Right.
And this is one of them. And then George, you know, is doing the weird little guitar, bassy thing. I love that too.
And then for all the takes and everything that's happening, there's like they're kind of rediscovering the tune, right? Like, Paul's less familiar with the lyrics, I think, than John is, because he falls off on this one early on.
So we call this a John song?
Well, I do think there's that version that we get on that new Let It Be box set.
Yep.
That is different than the LP version. It has a Paul high harmony in it, and then Paul moves into Fancy Me Chances, which is a very, very early Lennon-McCartney composition, like before anything that's ever recorded, the Fancy Me Chances. And what I think is cool about that is as soon as Paul starts playing Fancy Me Chances, John is right in there with him. I would love to hear a little bit of that part. I was trying.
See what it's like to be me, Becker?
It's exhausting.
This is my last
game. Fancy Mick Chances?
Fancy.
What is it?
Before we dive too deep into this part of it, like, RB, what was it like the first time you were with a prostitute?
I don't have any information about that.
Yeah.
No record. Sloppy.
Can you turn the speaker on?
Wasn't there a strip club in White River or something?
There isn't anymore. There used to be.
Ah!
Before I moved there, there was.
How was it? Oh.
It was great.
Never been.
Tom Perry was not there anymore. None of the women are either.
You had to walk into a bowling alley and then through a country bar.
I think I'd like go into like where the pins go.
You have to slide down the 8th lane.
It's a secret. I don't know. I've never been there.
You gotta figure it out.
Oh, did you mind me? May I take you there away and never walk down my street anymore? Oh, Judgy, guilty, found it. No rum in the home abound it. That dirty, no good, no good, Maggie May.
Take it, Maggie. Oh, fancy me chances with you.
I fancy me chances with you. I fancy me chances with you. Fancy me chances, oh, fancy me chances with you.
Fancy me chances at the lock. Fancy me chances with your frock. Fancy me chances. Fancy me chances. Fancy me chances with you.
The one of the things I also love is that Paul here gets a little saucy. Fancy me chances with your frock. You know, that's a little dirty.
Could you hear Ringo coming in? Like, I feel like when I was listening to it, it's like there's a lower voice that wasn't coming through right there.
I think that's John doing like, that's John doing like his, what ends up becoming like the English comedy voice or something. Why can't I think of the troop Monty name? Python. Right, it's the Monty Python voice or something. Right. That, like, they grab onto Beatles comedy and run with it. You know, for as funny as it is, I don't know. Not a big Monty Python guy. This is one of the arguments.
Yeah,
we have
a couple of divisions personally.
You don't like Monty Python?
I'd much rather see like Airplane than a Monty Python.
And I don't like slapstick.
I want to watch Spaceballs.
Like, I don't like Mel Brooks.
Yeah,
I like Spaceballs, but I don't like Mel Brooks. He's not dead yet, right? So we can still have that.
Yeah.
Monty Python,
yeah. When he dies, you're gonna be like, "What a hero! What a like
young Frankenstein."
Yeah. Rest in power, King.
Jared, what's the funniest movie that you enjoy? And it should be Royal Tenenbaums.
I showed it to my daughter recently. She didn't like it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my oldest.
Your daughter. Maggie?
No comment.
There's like this big thing on like TikTok and Instagram right now. What's it? Wes Anderson.
Yeah, it's like doing Wes Anderson.
They totally want to do it.
Yeah, you should. Wes Anderson is a guy who owns a farmhouse brewery. Like, you're doing it, dude. Like,
yeah, I could. Yeah, I would need some help though. I need somebody to like help me film. Yeah,
you're Wes turn mass Anderson.
Yeah. Oh, look, you have a guest coming.
I'm sorry. I know you don't like shtick.
You have a guest.
Hey,
what's going on?
Do you even like the Beatles?
Yeah.
Gabriel.
Hey.
How are you?
This is Gabriel.
Hey, Gabriel.
Hello, Gabriel.
Hi.
Hey.
How's it going?
Fellow Worthington Knight.
We're live on the air.
Oh, thank
you.
Can talk. It's okay.
Yeah. All good.
You're not disrupting.
We're discussing Beatles Maggie May, if you want to.
If you have a take.
Do you want to join us?
I gotta get back. I gotta family.
Oh, get back. Oh, I see what you did there.
Oh, you do have your mom's visit.
But I mean, the double time at the end. All right. So, I think. And it modulates too, I think.
Yeah.
Double time and it modulates.
Wow. They're just the genius. It's unbelievable. You know?
There was actually a really cool NPR article about how songs, like pop songs, used to do modulations and key changes.
A lot.
And that was like a way to bring like a next level.
Yeah.
And that's like gone.
So that's a hole in the market, is what you're saying.
Yes, we're going to bring back to that.
I agree.
Yes, fuck yes. That's how we become popular.
We start writing songs first.
Well,
and then we modulate
them. And then we modulate the shit out of them.
But, you know, like Whitney would, you know, they go to the next.
Yeah.
The next freaking key or whatever.
Whitney. Well, all the old R&B stuff, too.
Yeah.
You're saying Whitney the band?
Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston.
Oh, it's like
Whitney Houston.
I didn't realize
that
the
first
drummer.
Whitney band is fucking amazing. The first Whitney record is so good, but anyways,
yeah,
sorry.
But that drummer was actually he was in Unknown Mortal Orchestra.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Oh, he's the same drummer.
Yeah,
I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Like at one point
in Whitney, the band Whitney.
Yeah.
Okay,
singer, drummer, and Whitney.
He's the lead singer, drummer, which I think is a really hard role.
Yeah, and then he was.
Tell me about it.
That is a cool record. No Woman.
Yeah. No Cry.
Oh, yeah. Researching this song here, again on YouTube, I didn't realize, I never really watched much of Pirates of the Caribbean, but Paul McCartney is Uncle Jack, and.
He's singing this
song. Yeah,
he's singing Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah.
Oh.
Really?
Yes.
Totally blown away.
I've never seen any of those.
Neither have I. I just found this out.
He never quite finished it, but he just kind of
Yeah, I heard like it's like a bit in there. Like it made me want to go back and watch this. I didn't realize.
That's yeah, cool. McCartney, I've never seen one of those movies. I'll be honest.
But I love that Paul was like probably, I'll be in this song, but you can't license
awesome.
My.
I want to hear more about it. Support everything you're doing. Deep down, love it all.
I love that Paul was willing to be in Pirates of the Caribbean, but also be like, you can't use any Beatles music.
can we clarify one point I have here? Right. This is very important. Caribbean or Caribbean? When you're talking about the pirates.
It's both. It's Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But are you vacation to the Caribbean? It's Caribbean.
I think the movie is... Thank you. Yes, thank you. Point of order.
The locals call it Caribbean.
definitive. You can't use any of the music. The song's called Maggie May, but it's spelled M-A-E.
Yeah.
And is it true that they, I don't know, maybe you probably know more about this, like, did they change it to Maggie May to collect, let me go to my notes here.
Money?
to collect publishing income.
So that seems to be... Oh, a questionable thing. Like, the first pressings of the record, I think, have public domain under this song. And then I think the second and later pressings have all of the Beatles under it.
Yeah.
So I don't ultimately know. You know, like, I don't know how much money this tune is kicking off in sort of the lexicon of, like, Beatles songs, but I do think it's interesting that it does change. I don't know what it means.
This would be like an old sea shanty.
Yeah. Because I think it goes back to like the 1800s. Like the original part of it, I have the lyrics somewhere, but it was my charming Nellie Ray, they've taken you away. You've gone to Van Diem's cruel shore, which was Australia, which was Tasmania.
Oh wow!
Like a bunch of criminals over there.
When
I mean, not you, Peachy.
I want to go back and separate this for our listeners because we have such great New Zealand listenership. Yeah. That you know we know
adjacent
that,
to a penal colony.
Yeah, you're near a penal colony, but we respect New Zealand in a huge way.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to PG has sent us snacks from New Zealand and all that. I don't want you to think that for 1 second.
That come from New Zealand.
We think you.
What? Yeah. We've gotten snacks from New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah, last year we were drinking...
You brought all those pies this weekend to the cabin, right? They're still kicking around?
I ate all those pies.
What?
Yeah. Those foreign fish and fish.
I'll forget your address. I'm going to send you so much
but I think, Jared, to what you said, I read a quote from someone on this song in the standard sense, not in the Beatles sense, that said, it was on every ship but in no books. Which, you know, this idea that this is just played on boats, like, you know what I mean? That, like, as people are out at sea, as they're on the docks, as they're at the bars around harbors, that this is... And I think Liverpool is a harbor town, right? And so that's where this is spreading out to John, to Paul, to the, like, the culture of the thing.
That's what I'm lamenting. Like, we don't have this, like...
Regional
what is
songs?
Our generation sort of...
It's Hot in Her by Nelly. I think it's the closest thing we have. Yeah. It's on all the ships. All the cruise ships. It's
Like, what would we say is, like, a song that we go back to? Because, like, I know I'm obsessed
smells
with
smells like Teen Spirit.
No. Well, yeah, we're singing that together. For people in Boston, it's probably, like... Dropkick Murphys.
Right? Yeah, shipping out to Boston. Right? Yeah.
Well, that's too late. Like, that's not of my generation, you know?
There are, like, a lot of these, I don't like to classify things as, like, Gen X, Gen Z, but there are all these new Gen Z people, like, covering Nirvana songs.
Yeah.
And totally different take on it, and becoming popular.
Yeah.
I don't want to say famous, but just getting a lot of followers.
Because
they're doing a really good rendition.
It's funny because like a kid now wearing a Nirvana shirt is generally with this group. Yeah. When we were growing up, someone wearing a Led Zeppelin shirt. You know?
I mean, if we're talking about time, this song to the Beatles is 1900. us, to the Beatles, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's a 65-year age gap. Where they're playing a song from 1900, and we're talking about the Beatles right now. So, it's still 65-ish years.
But we have no respect for that tradition. Like, we don't have any of that. Like, I don't know.
I mean, these songs were written and played in a house where you didn't have recorded music.
That's what's supposed to be about this.
Almost like an oral tradition. Because it's passed from person.
A minstrel walking through town with a guitar playing this tune
that someone else learns. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah.
You had the songs in the book on the piano, and if you wanted to hear music, that somebody had to play the piano and play.
And be able to afford the sheet music.
Yeah.
I want to go back and make sure I get this point in the mix, but Let It Be is relatively famous because Phil Spector comes and gets involved and all of that, and sort of he puts it out there. But the reason that we actually hear, what song were we talking about?
Maggie Mac.
Listen to me, I'm a Beatles scholar.
You're not even wearing glasses.
The reason that we talk about the song is because of Glyn Johns, who gets Glyn Johns, who gets a bunch of grief. A little bit, you know, but we talk about it because he threw this in the mix. He thought this was a good connector. Phil Spector moved it around in the sequencing of Glenn's record, but
he kept it on the record.
But he kept it on the record. But the most interesting thing is when we hear the record, the vinyl of this, is that it's the end of the A side.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of pretty big. Like, it's interestingly, like, jarring in a way.
Well, and also because George Martin always had the thing with the Beatles of the four corners of a record. The first song and last song of the A side are two corners, and the first song and last song of the B side are two corners. And I know they're not working as closely with George.
I actually coined that before George Martin.
Oh, you did? I didn't know that. Oh.
I actually had a discussion recently with somebody about why that's like that. Is it because for radio play? Because you go from one turntable to the next turntable, so you get the A side, one, two, and then you got time to flip that one over, three,
I always
and four.
Thought it was more about the listening experience of, you got to put on the first song and be like, this is an, oh my God, this is a great record, and then the last song of the A side gives you, if it's that good, gives you the reason to flip the record over, you know, and then you get another banger in there. Like,
interestingly, the way this song drops off and just falls apart abruptly is similar to on Abbey Road, how what is it, Because, or which song ends
I Want You.
She's
I
So
Want
Heavy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, builds up, so and then just slams
shut.
And so you have to go further. You're like, I can't end it like that. Let's see what's on the other side.
I think it's a great ender, and I think it, when you know, I didn't know when we started this podcast that we had the luxury of getting the Get Back Peter Jackson stuff.
Yeah.
We are now spoiled when we talk about Let It Be, getting all of this context and video and enhanced and all of that. And so seeing that and understanding what it means for them to just do this little interstitial tune is amazing. And it bumps everything in my mind as being way more important, you know? At the time, these are all just toss-off, little jerk-offy things that are happening between songs, like, and that's how you feel about it, I think, hearing the record. But now I feel like it's a little more important. And the way you talk about John, and that you played me in 1979, John does this again, like, I don't know. I'm not even sure how to rank it now.
I know,
like,
right?
It feels like more
there's
important.
There's more important. Know? Yeah, it might not be the best song, but it might be. There's importance here. There's weight to the thing.
Have we not even tapped into exactly what this means? You know, if John was still alive, would he be playing this till the end? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but they only got through the first verse. So, like, you're not going to rank it too high, guys.
Yeah.
Alexa, AI me, John Lennon, 90 years old, Maggie May.
Did she do it?
I don't know.
Something's working.
Can we?
He just barked.
Can we talk about the fact that there is a very good Rod Stewart song named Maggie Mae? I think that's a great song. Spelling.
I don't know if it's very good, because
you don't think that's a good song? I'm not a huge Rod Stewart guy. That's a great song.
We were warming up with it, and Jared asked, who is this guy?
Yeah. I think that song is a classic. I think that is a great, great song.
I think it's a karaoke go-to.
It is one of my karaoke go-tos. Thank you, Scott.
You sing Maggie Mae karaoke?
Often.
Oh, I've never heard that.
Let's hang out more.
Let's do the karaoke. Let's get this going.
It is one of my karaoke go-tos. And what's interesting to me about just the fact that, so we have two songs named Maggie Mae. One ends in an E, one ends in a Y, whatever. The Rod Stewart one is also about something about an older woman. Like, there's a sexual aspect here. There's all these things. Do you think there's any connection between these two chants?
I think it goes back to the traditional song of it. Did you walk into that? It's a magical mystery word.
Drink up. It's a magical mystery word. I know you're. Yeah, this guy's got to work today.
Drunk before I open. Yeah. Great. Love it.
Cheers, fellas.
Cheers. All right. Careful.
There's no more whiskey, so he literally can't say traditional one thing.
Did we finish the bottle, or is it just hidden?
Oh, no, it's just whiskey.
For us.
It's hidden and gone.
Yeah.
It's hidden in our bloodstream.
Jared, do you know the difference between a fiddle and a violin?
Yeah.
Hey, tell us.
Are we recording right now?
Yeah, we're still going the whole time.
Oh, no, is it the amount of
fiddle players?
Is this the amount of dust?
Don't know what they're doing. Violin players know what they're doing.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's it.
I like it.
Same instrument.
It's the same instrument. Is it just how you hold it?
This is the style.
No,
it's the style of playing.
It's the style. It's the music that you're involved in.
It definitely is.
A fiddle doesn't play classical.
I looked this shit up and I don't actually know. It's like...
I feel like there isn't a difference in the instrument. I feel like there's a difference in the style of playing. There's a lot more like double stoppy kind of...
I always say I play the fiddle and not the violin because I don't want to make it like a classical
you
don't
play have a violin
unless you're doing
you don't play Beethoven when you play
that's how I personally feel about it but like
that's how I feel too
it's a fiddle it's just hang out at a campfire and drink beer and play
but a guitar is still called a guitar like a classical piece is still played on a guitar
interesting thing
but now we've hung out enough I feel like you're also like pretty humble because I think you're doing something very cool out here and you play fiddle and you do all the stuff and you're like it's pretty awesome dude
Thanks.
Absolutely
we're some down home country disc golfers so
are we gonna play disc golf after this
I could shoot 18 right now
we're only got 9 who are we missing
this is it
no we're missing one person.
Nope.
I thought we were too.
I'm right here.
Well, somebody just came.
So, you know, we're here to talk about and rank a single Beatles song, but I want to make sure that everyone has felt heard. And Chris, like, do you feel like you're on the record for this tune, or what do you think about it?
All right. Yeah, I think I'm good.
No, you just said something to me. You said something to me about
oral
the idea of this being a historical piece. That and how did you frame that? Like,
well, if you're going into a, I don't know. I've never been to Liverpool or whatever. I would assume that there's some. Oral tradition. Magical mystery word. I'm sorry.
You know what you're getting?
We know what we're getting with you, yeah.
There's some oral history around like sitting at a bar and these songs are being played for you as you have a beer or whatever, and you're growing up around these old timers that are playing songs for you, and you're I don't know that I feel like that shapes. I can't imagine what it's like to grow up in the '60s in Liverpool, but I would imagine there's a lot of that happening.
Yeah,
where it's these songs that are common across pubs and. You have you just have the experience of that. The shared memory
these
and shared
songs
experience
that everyone can go to and play. Like, and I go back to it again. Like, our generation is just playing old songs. Like, I don't know what song could we all play right now and be like, we know this. And someone said it smells like Teen Spirit, and that's probably right.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Everyone who plays the instrument can jump in on Smells Like Teen Spirit. I mean, Jared, musically speaking, we're all friends and close. Like, what about you? Like, what do you think? Like, if you were going to start a song that you know, you're playing, you have jam sessions in your brewery. Like, what's the song that everybody knows right now?
Like, my friends and I, we all play together. I feel like my group of friends is very much like your group of friends. Like, we're actually kind of far apart, but, like, we just get along so great.
Yeah.
Disc golf, music, just hanging out, cooking food.
Yeah. But are we all into the Grateful Dead? Are we just coming up on the, like, we,
you want to get into the Dick's Picks?
I thought growing up being a punk rock kid that I hated the Grateful Dead, and then I got into the band. And then now I'm like, do I like the Grateful Dead?
Yeah, you do.
I agree.
It does. It takes something here.
You probably just need someone to tell you you like the Grateful Dead. That's how you know.
It's okay. You like the Grateful Dead.
But it wasn't, because for me, there was, like, I was a straight edge kid in high school, and, like, you weren't allowed to be like, we're going down the power lines and smoking weed and drinking beers. Like, we were of a different sort, you know. But now I'm like, oh shit, like, what if I was smoking weed and drinking beers down by the power lines, you know?
I know.
You would have been much cooler.
Anyways,
you'd be a finance bro.
We're a Beatles podcast, and we exclusively talk about Beatles tunes. And I think it's about time that we have to put this on the big list.
Yeah, we got to put it on the big old list of Beatles songs that we have from best to worst that we're assembling as we go. And if I'm going to run down some highlights of where we stand today, Becker, I don't know if you know this. We have a new number one song episode. And that new number one is I Am the Walrus from the Magical Mystery Tour. If we're going down the highlights and we're just running down the tens here, number 10 is currently Tomorrow Never Knows from Revolver. Number 20 is Fixin' a Hole from the Sgt. Pepper's record. That's a pretty good record. Number 30 is Drive My Car from Rubber Soul. Number 40 from this very same record, Let It Be, is The One After 909. And number 50 is Babies in Black from Beatles for Sale. Number 58, very important song, A Taste of Honey. And then last but currently least, I'm talking about Boys.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. So let's talk Let It Be for a second, because I think One After 909 is currently the lowest ranking Let It Be song, and I got to be honest, this is not better than One After 909. The Beatles, but what's interesting, talking about Beatles history and all of that, like, this plays into that whole thing.
One After 909 is also a complete song.
Fair enough.
It is hard to put this on the big board.
Yeah. So what else are we talking about here? I mean,
what about covers? What's our lowest cover?
I think it's just Boys? Like number 50 right now. Like, that's what I think. Just to be like, it's 50.
So you think this is better than Babies in Black, but not as good as Hold Me Tight?
Yes.
That actually feels pretty good. I'm good with any dissensions in the ranks right now.
Let's go.
Jared, do you love or hate this tune? Are you you want to fight us on this?
I kind of just zoned out for a moment.
Welcome to the podcast.
Wait. I forgot. I didn't even.
We have a lot of songs left to go.
Yeah.
And that's exactly
maybe our quickest ranking ever.
Yes.
You're welcome, listeners. And
we have a new number 50.
Yeah, we have a new number 50. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. I think we did it. That was another episode of Blotto Beatles, everybody. I am Tommy. That was Becker. We are your co-hosts. Those were the customers that you heard in the background of the Cena Farms Brewery. They are amazing. Thank you for coming. this podcast, as you know, is produced, edited, magically assembled by your executive producer and mine. That's Scotty C on the ones and twos. We have additional musical supervision and assistance from our good friend RB. You know him. That B always stands for Beatles. We had a great guest tonight. That's Jared from the Cena Farms Brewery. Yeah. Jared, thank you so much.
Not just a guest, but a host. Thank you. You hosted us.
Thank you so much.
Where
can people find Cena Farms if they're interested, like online, anything like that?
No, just here. Maybe Liston's, maybe the Goldenrod.
All right.
Sometimes the Creamery in Covington.
Search it on Google. If you're in Western Massachusetts, swing by Cena Farms, grab yourself a 4-pack, sit in the same booths we sat. There's, I think you said there's going to be a plaque.
Why are you doing 4-packs? We should be doing six packs again.
I hate Canada.
Bring back six packs.
But you,
I could do six packs, 12 ounces.
You told us you're going to put plaques up on these booths, right? That says Blotto Beatles was recorded here. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
right.
thank you.
Just tag them, spray paint.
I want it to be brass or bronze.
So you'll find them.
Precious metals.
You'll find Cena Farms on Google. You'll find them on Instagram as well.
TikTok.
And
you know that's my private.
That's
that's
a little privy right there.
That's okay. Instagram knows.
But you can find us on social media as well. You can hit us up at Blotto Beatles. Don't forget to subscribe and rate us on your podcast app of choice. Remember that this podcast is recorded by absolute professionals. We encourage you to enjoy Blotto Beatles responsibly.
We do.
Without further ado, I have three words. Before we sing this song, those three words are
peace.
And love. Let's sing a tune.
Oh, Dirty Maggie May, they have taken her away, and she never walked down Lime Street anymore. Oh, the judge, he guilty found her, robbing the home. She's the part of Liverpool, she even turned to you. She's the last time we saw her last day. Woo! Fresh in the chances with you. Fresh in the chances with you. Fresh in the chances. Fresh in the chances. Fresh in the chances with you. Fresh in the chances that we long. Fresh in the chances that you're wrong. Bad to be chances, bad to be chances, bad to be chances with you. Bad to be chances with you. Bad to be chances with you. Bad to be chances with you.
Hey, Cinephile Brewery.